Coming up in this episode...
I'm not opposed to talking to inanimate objects. I mean, I talk to plush dolls sometimes. They don't talk back, fortunately.
Now, my question is, what would someone do if your dream is shattered, if your life is upside down? Normally, what happens? Then you stop living in the real world.
And that, Peter, is chapter 4 of a 13-chapter novel.
Okay, wow. So main character dies pretty early in the book. So what's the last two-thirds?
This podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting highlights books with Georgia connections, hosted by two of your favorite public radio book nerds who also happen to be your hosts of All Things Considered on GPB Radio. I'm Orlando Montoya.
And I'm Peter Biello. Thanks for joining us as we introduce you to authors, their writings, and the insights behind the stories mixed with our own thoughts and ideas on just what gives these works the narrative edge. All right, Orlando, I am ready for another book. What do you have?
Well, today I have a work of historical fiction by a writer who lives in Alpharetta. This is his first novel, and it's set in Bangladesh, clear across the other side of the world in the year 1968. The book is Bengal Hound by Rahata Beer, and I just devoured this book. I could not stop reading it. I finished it in record time. It's a love story set amid sweeping historical change that I didn't know about.
What change are we talking about? What was going on in Bangladesh in 1968?
Well, Bangladesh won its independence from Pakistan after a brutal 9-month war in 1971. So this book is set in the years before that war, when Bangladesh was known as East Pakistan, and there was a movement going on for independence. But one thing I like about this novel, it's not really about these events. It's the love story between two main characters, and I'm going to introduce them to you now. One is Shelley. He's 17, I think. You know, he doesn't exactly spell it out, but based on the numbers, I think he's 17. Shelley is a writer who lives in Dhaka, and his love interest is Roxana, who's 12 years old, a childhood sweetheart from their shared hometown in a small village. And she's arranged to be married to a banker, whom she does not want to marry, and so she and Shelley decide to run away. They run away on a boat, they run away on a train to Dhaka, but their romance is doomed.
Okay, I'll ask about why their romance is doomed in a minute, but what about their ages, 17 and 12? Was this the custom of the time and place to be married so young?
Well, according to a 2016 World Bank brief, and I think this is the first time and only time I'm going to say World Bank on the Narrative Edge podcast, but it's still fairly common for women in Bangladesh to marry before their 18th birthday, a product of social and economic factors. But I'll remind you that Shakespeare's Juliet was 13 and Romeo was 16 or 17, and their romance also was doomed.
Okay, there is precedent in literature.
And in the time since this episode was originally published, Rahata Beer has reached out to me to let me know that actually Roxana is 16 years old in the novel.
And so why is their romance doomed?
Well, Shelley is Hindu, Roxana is Muslim. Full stop. They cannot get married. So when they go to the marriage officer, Shelley has to convert to Islam. And that's just a matter of saying, you know, there is no God but Allah, Muhammad is the prophet, sort of perfunctory. He'll take care of the circumcision part a little bit later, he says. And neither of them seem very religious, however, nor very political. As a matter of fact, I think later in the novel, Shelley is described as an atheist. But they get married. These are the happiest few days of the book. They're on the run. They're having so much fun. They're in Dhaka, staying at a friend's house to avoid being caught. They're taking in the sights of the city. They're taking in the food. But it's not long before bad things happen.
Bad things happen. What happens?
Bad things happen. Shelley is arrested for marrying Roxana, and they are separated. Roxana is sent back to their village. And prison is just this horrible place for Shelley. It's dank. There's torture going on in the background. He meets bandits there, all kind of stories. But he gets out by promising, you know, with his hands behind his back, saying never to see Roxana again. And we know how that's going to go, right?
No way. No way is he going to do that. The novel would have ended too soon.
Yes, but so he bolts back to their village. And fine, Roxana is married off to a rich old guy who paid her family a fat dowry. And a few days or weeks later, again, you know, time in these novels is kind of hazy, but a very short time later, Shelley is back in Dhaka, and we find out that Roxana is dead. He gets a letter from her saying that she's sick, she's not taking her medicine, what's the point of living without him? And that, Peter, is chapter 4 of a 13-chapter novel.
Okay, wow. So main character dies pretty early in the book. So what's the last two-thirds?
So Roxana doesn't leave the book. She comes back. But before I get to how she comes back, I want you to hear the author, Rahata Beer, talking about how he modeled the character, Roxana.
In the novel, Roxana is one of the main female protagonists. I modeled her after my grandmother's sister. This girl, my grandmother's sister, she ran away with her boyfriend on her wedding day. And this was back in the, in the 60s. She was subsequently murdered by her family members. The sad part is, no one knows anything, how she was killed and where she was buried. The family lore says she was killed and then her body was thrown into the river. That's it. I mean, no more information. I asked my grandmother about it, and every time I ask about this, she just goes quiet. And I know she's traumatized about this, but no, nothing more. I was haunted by this murder. I mean, it's been a long time. I want to know more, but I get nothing.
Wow, I was kind of hoping he would say that she had faked her death to run away, but no, it seems like it's an actual real death. Really, really tragic.
A lot of tragedies in that time.
And okay, so that's the model for Roxana. Who's the model for Shelley?
Well, Shelley is a writer in the book, and of course, Rahata Beer is a writer. So I asked him if he was the model for Shelley, and he said it could be him, but it also could be any number of other characters from Bengali literature, which he talked about, and I didn't get much into. So yeah, there's the models for the two main characters. I should say Shelley is named after the British Romantic poet Percy Shelley, if anybody knows him.
And so you mentioned that Roxana comes back into the story. How does she come back?
So as I mentioned, Shelley returns to Dhaka devastated. His life goes on to some degree. His work continues. There's protests going on. He meets people. There's a lot of stuff going on in this section of the book. But he commissions a small statue based on a photograph of Roxana. And the statue comes into his house. Strange things start happening with the statue. The statue starts talking, and Shelley starts talking to it. And so now we have genuine magical realism on our hands.
Okay, and how do you feel about that?
I like it. I'm not opposed to talking to inanimate objects. I mean, I talk to plush dolls sometimes. They don't talk back, fortunately. I sort of take this as a literary device for the ideas of longing or remembrance. So just to let you know what's happening in this part of the book, as I said, he's trying to move on with his life. Things are swirling around him, protests for the revolution. Friends are being shot and killed by the military. Another friend falls into a severe depression. She starts acting very strangely, and characters that I haven't mentioned have various problems. So Shelley takes to drink, and here's this statue saying, everything's going to be okay. I mean, if one of your deceased relatives could come back and talk to you through a statue, I mean, wouldn't you listen to it?
I would be, well, here's the thing. Yes, I think so, but only if I were also convinced that other people could see the statue talking. And I'm wondering if that's the case in this book. Like, is it like literally real that the statue is talking, or is he losing his mind?
He's losing his mind. I'll let the author explain.
In Bengal Hound, all the characters, they all are sufferers. The political situation, the partition, and in their personal lives, they all are sufferers, and their dreams are shattered. Now, my question is, what would someone do if your dream is shattered, if your life is upside down? normally what happens? Then you stop living in the real world. And for Shelley, then he starts living in his, he creates his own imaginary world. The magical realism elements you can find in this novel. And when you talk about magical realism, I mean, it's all just Latin America. It's not that. I mean, it's all in Asia as well, or in Africa.
It was in Shakespeare. It was in Charles Dickens.
That's right. And we have our own stories, our own myth. That's in the folklore. So it's in everywhere.
I mean, I would love it if my mother could come back and talk to me through a statue. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, I would too, but if I had some indication that I was losing my mind, I would say, I'm going to pause on taking that advice or taking that comfort and get some help for myself.
Okay.
That's kind of what I mean. Fair. Certainly, I would love it to hear from my lost relatives, but yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay, so what happens next?
And unfortunately, Peter, that's where I'm going to end how much I'll share of you from the book.
I
don't want to give away the last bits, but needless to say, there are more plot twists. Shelley needs to run away again. There's a lot of fast action, but the ending comes unexpectedly. It comes quietly, and ultimately, I think, hopefully, it's a hopeful, satisfying ending. And I thoroughly enjoyed the book. I finished it in record time.
Okay, well, the big question is, what gives the book the narrative edge, in your opinion?
Well, as I said, it's fast-paced. There's something happening in every chapter. Plot twists. I think Shelley and Roxana were only married 5 days, if I read the book correctly. So it was a whirlwind. They had been, a couple for a while before, though. Second, it put me in a place and time that were unfamiliar to me. Words that I didn't know, mostly foods, articles of clothing. I kept a list as I was going along in my little notebook of the words that I had to look up. He says that he writes Bangla in English. So there are a lot of words, but in there that I'm unfamiliar with. So I like learning new things. It felt like being there, the gray bustle of the city, and actually had to watch a few YouTube videos on the history of Bangladesh to sort of, I didn't have to. I didn't have to, but it got me interested.
You were curious.
I was curious about the history of Bangladesh after this. And thirdly, I was in a rut of American historical fiction. I mean, how many Civil War historical fictions can we really read? But it's a great big world out there. There are immigrant writers based in Georgia. We have Bangladeshi community here in Georgia. And maybe this will inspire you to go out and have some Bangladeshi food tonight. I don't know.
Why is it called Bengal Hound?
Bengal Hound. Well, there is a hound. There is a dog in the story who gets adopted by one of the second or third tier characters that I didn't mention. And this hound becomes emblematic of sort of what's going on in the story.
Okay. Final question. What do you say to your plush dolls?
What do I say to my plush dolls?
you mentioned that you talk to plush dolls sometimes.
How are you doing? Do you want to be moved? Do you want to look out the window? You know, I sort of stroke their head.
All right, cool. Didn't know that about you, but now I do. All right, so the book is Bengal Hound by Rahad Abir.
Oh, I tell them I love them. That's what I do.
Do they say it back?
No.
Ah, jeez, love unrequited. Another doomed romance. All right, so the book is Bengal Hound by Rahad Abir. Orlando, thanks for telling us all about it.
All right, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Narrative Edge. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode. This podcast is a production of Georgia Public Broadcasting. Find us online at gpb.org/narrativeedge.
You can also catch us on the daily GPB news podcast, Georgia Today, for a concise update on the latest news in Georgia. For more on that and all of our podcasts, go to gpb.org/podcasts.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.